Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Good afternoon. This is Chris Stainis, a host of Voices of Women on Transformation Talk Radio. And today I'm excited we're going to be talking with three women who do some very interesting work to raise our consciousness of the power of the feminine. I also want to share I never said that the music behind the intro to the show is called Pray Like a Woman, and it's written by one of our Seattle Woman Wisdom musicians, Lorraine Bays. So you can experience these women and their powerful messages, Seattle, this coming February 17th to the 21st for our 19th annual Woman of Wisdom Conference. Our theme is Woman Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. And we've got herbalist Susan Weed, medical intuitive Carolyn Sutherland, firewalker teacher Peggy Dillon, and also Yvonne Oswald and Marsha Weeder, who I'm going to be interviewing in a few weeks. Just go to www.womenofwisdom.org and read all about it. I hope to see you there. And today my first guest is Susanna McCarthy. Susanna is a spiritual director, social worker, convener of the Council of Sacred Mothers. In her business, Blessings of the Mother, she integrates her knowledge of motivation and the purpose of chance with mindfulness, creativity, and the wisdom of the Divine Mother to evoke clarity, healing, wholeness, and connection to one's unique life purpose. Known by different names throughout millennia, Sophia is our mother, our wisdom and power, our hope for the world. The mystery of Sophia is that she resides both at the galactic center and dwells within us. The mystery of light, born into matter, she bestows knowledge through intuition, beauty, and relationship with all beings. And Susanna will be presenting this workshop, Sophia's Return to the Galactic Center, at the conference Saturday, February 19th. Well, welcome, Susanna.
Thank you. Thank you. Aloha to you.
And you too. So some people say it was Sophia who created our world. How does that fit in with the story of creation of the world in Genesis?
Well, Genesis talks about the world being created in 6 days, and then the seventh day God rested. And the Essenes, the Gnostics, and a lot of other traditions hold that really Sophia was the creatrix of the world, and that it didn't happen in 6 days, but instead it happened over eons of time. First the etheric body, then the physical. And so I love this idea of our world being created over eons of time. And it just increases my profound respect for what we've been given on Mother Earth. And I wish that everyone had this attitude and this belief, because I think we'd take greater care of our mother.
Mother being the Earth.
Mother being the Earth.
Yeah.
And so the mystery is that Sophia is also our Earth. But I think I'll get into that a little bit later.
Okay, well, talk to the Galactic Center. What do you call the Galactic Center? What does that mean to you?
Well, what it means to me is that our sun, all the suns, revolve around the great central sun, and that's the Galactic Center. This is the place where all the stars are born. This is the place where galaxies are born, and this is the source of all life. So the Essenes, the Gnostics believed that this place was the throne of God. And as Sophia was the manifesting principle of all creation, this is the place where she resides. And so, actually, what we're hastening is not her return to the Galactic Center, but her return from the Galactic Center back to us.
So for us, recognizing her. Because we've kind of forgotten about her.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And in some ways, you could say that she's hidden from us. First of all, being in the Galactic Center, we don't have that kind of contact every day. Sophia has multiple aspects, one of them being the creatrix of all creation. But other things are that she is also, out of her came our Earth and the creation of our Earth. And so in some mysterious ways, she is our very foundation, and that we contain particles of Sophia in the air we breathe, that her breath is our breath, in the water that sustains us, she is the divine spark that we find in ourselves and all things, and in the physicality of things. So the mystery is she's way out there in the Galactic Center, and yet she resides in us. And beyond that, she is also the world soul. She is a physical being, and she is moving us toward her ideal of what we can be as humankind. And she really needs us she really needs our participation in that.
Well, yeah, because we're the ones that are physical. So we have to bring her out into the world. We have to embrace her and, correct? I mean, you know, it's
totally, because totally. We got to step it up.
So why do you say we have to step it up?
Well, the last few thousand years have been kind of molded by the patriarchy, and that has brought us tremendous advances, but there have also been some limits to that. And so what's really been lost, the divine feminine and the human feminine, are ways of being and doing. And so all the gifts that we bring are still not well recognized by our world. And yet these are the gifts that are untried and that really could bring in many solutions to the issues that that we face. And there has been such a detriment in such a lack of the feminine for the last few thousand years that we have a lot of catching up to do. And time seems to be running out. Things are pretty much at a crisis level in so many ways. So the more people come to an awareness of the divine feminine and bring in that consciousness, I think that we will have a more balanced world. Not that we're replacing the divine masculine, but that we are coexisting with the divine masculine. And since things have been weighted in the direction of the masculine for so long, we need to weight them in the direction of the divine feminine, even to bring us to a place of balance.
Yes, well said. So how can people get to know Sophia?
What do they need to do? Go on, you were going to say something?
No, I was just asking, what do they need to do?
Okay, well, since she is the creatrix, I think that anything that we appreciate about what she has created will draw us closer to her. So just being out in nature, helping clean the water, burning fires and burning candles, just lighting a candle in honor of her can help us get to know her better. And, of course, we can pray. We can meditate. I think one of the biggest things is to be still and listen, that a lot of the wisdom of the divine feminine, sure, a lot of it will come from books, but much of it will come from us being still and being open to communication from her. So there's really lots of simple little things. We don't have to do big dramatic things to reconnect with the divine feminine. All of that is welcomed, and all of that will make a difference.
So I know my sense of Sophia is a goddess of wisdom, and actually I tried to research about her, like in the Bible, I think there was one line, and it was just stated the feminine counterpart to God. So actually acknowledging there was a feminine, you know, God, aspect of God, and yet it's so, one line in the Bible, it is so hidden. So it's almost like it calls us to seek for that. It really is a journey of seeking that, and it's within us. It's that journey of going within. So, I know you've talked before about Council of Sacred Mothers. What is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's part of the work I do that, ever since reading the book, The Feminine Face of God, it started me on this search of what are the images of the divine feminine, and that took me to reading things about the goddess and cultures around the world, and I started collecting pictures. And instead of making them PowerPoint presentations, I would laminate these images, and every time I do a workshop, I surround the room with laminated images of the divine feminine. And one time I was sitting in a room preparing for a group, and I realized, wow, this is really like the Council of Sacred Mothers. And how different life would be if we tapped into the wisdom of the Divine Feminine in all of her different aspects in terms of giving us ideas on how to proceed in the world in a way that's going to make a positive difference and work for the betterment of all. And so now when I do workshops and even in my prayer times, I surround myself with the Council of Sacred Mothers and am open to their input. And I think that there are a lot of people that even have altars where they may have only one or two or three Sacred Mothers on their altar, yet that can be their council and that can inform them how to deal with interpersonal issues as well as how they might act regarding a specific current event that they feel needs some action on their part.
So what has it done for you personally?
Well, I think that it allows me, studying about the different mothers around the world and all the different attributes they possess has helped me see that there is any way you want to be a woman, there's a goddess to support that. And even when you have your periods of anger or your periods of revenge or anything, there is a goddess who's been out there in doing it, and a goddess who can assist you and give you guidance. You can read about her. You can pray to her. So it's just given me a much more solid foundation and a much greater self-acceptance that really, within the divine feminine, all attributes can be used for the good.
That's great. And as we embrace her more inside ourselves, we become more balanced. Our life is enriched. I know yours has been. And you also work in an interfaith. Your spirituality comes from an interfaith focus. We just have a minute to talk about that, but can you explain that?
Well, I started out as being Catholic and, with Mary as my focus. And as I started seeing images of Mary from around the world, and then I started seeing images of the sacred everywhere around the world, I started becoming much more interested in the truth in all spiritual traditions and starting to see that the barriers that are between us are really kind of artificial. And I think the divine feminine can be a unifying force between us because there are great similarities between the stories of the divine feminine from different cultures and traditions around the world.
Yes, that's true. There's so much we can learn when we find the commonality between all the religions. We might, find some peace in our world. So would you like to give your contact information?
Sure. My phone is, Susanna McCarthy, 206-271-3207. And I can be reached in my email, sacredmothers@clearwire.net. And that's
great.
Also
thanks.
Available on your website.
Yeah, sacredmothers@clearwire.net. Well, thank you, Susanna. It's been great to talk to you. You're listening to Voices of Woman with Chris Stainis. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk to Sharon Riggi about the feminine psyche. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com. The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
ReserveVage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including ReserveVage resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from ReserveVage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. ReserveVage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at ReserveVage.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit ReserveVage.com and feel vitality today. Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe? Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network.
And Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, very good. When does this start?
This starts in August.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Where is it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great. We should spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
This is Chris Stanis on Voices of Women, and I have Sharon Raji Maynard here with us now. Sharon is a published author, radical mystic healer, founder of the TAG, T-A-G, System of Transformation, and host of Weaving the World online radio. She speaks and writes of what is hidden in the shadows of the distant collective past that prevents effortless evolution. Through 30 years of inner spiritual guidance, Sharon understands the value of teachers from the unseen realm. And for over 17 years, Sharon has worked with the unseen fields of energy in order to identify the cause of such destruction and dysfunction within our physical world. With a deep understanding of the body-mind-spirit model, she has helped thousands find greater joy and expansion in their lives. She'll be giving a workshop on Healing the Female Psyche Through Sisterhood at the Woman Wisdom Conference, Monday, February 21st. And you can visit her website at www.SharonRajiMaynard, and that's spelled Sharon, and that Raji, R-I-E-G-I-E, Maynard, M-A-Y-N-A-R-D.com. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you, Chris. It's an honor to be with you today.
Yes. So let's talk about these shadows in our collective past. You say they prevent us from evolving effortlessly. So what are these shadows, and how does they affect us in our lives now?
Well, let me quickly tell you where I got to that point. In 1989, I was introduced to spiritual energy healing, and in doing that, working with the chakras, stones, crystals, etc., I saw that we were still going spiraling in patterns of sabotage called the onion layers. And I was not pleased that my clients were having to spend so much time paying attention to their onion layers when they had dreams they wanted to fulfill. So I had been working with spiritual guidance team for about 10 years before that, and so I went to that team rather than to the library, and I said, I want to go to the cause of humanity's pain. Where do I go to learn that? Because I want to transform the cause. And they said, it's not being done that way on the planet. And if you want to go to cause, which is what is in the shadows, then we will have to teach you. And so for the next, from 89 until the present day, they have been teaching me and showing me what is hidden from our sight so far back in our history, way before Earth history even, in our collective galactic past,
that has caused our energies to be disrupted and tainted, that we now call it patterns. That it isn't as simple as an early childhood. It isn't as simple as another lifetime. It is collectively way beyond that. So in the process of that questioning from those spiritual guides, I said, what is it that a woman, is there a general purpose for gender of woman beyond birthing? And they said, absolutely, it is to lead. Now that was 15 years ago and I was shocked. And I said, okay, then what is the purpose for the male gender? And they said, it is love. That the heart chakra is the male's connective point, and the way he makes his way through the world. But for women, it's the solar plexus first, to be solid, to be clear, to make choices, and to really architect this world. And that's, for me, what really put me on the path toward helping women. Because in my life and in the life of those around me, we had it backwards. Men were leading, women were nurturers. And until we get that correct, I think we'll be totally out of balance. And that's all hidden in what I call the shadows of our very, very distant past. And they're being corrected as we speak.
So are you saying that it used to be the men had carried that characteristic of the love and women were leaders and it somehow switched? Or is this something new that needs to come forward?
What they were saying was in the distant past when we participated in setting the agenda for Earth existence, the purpose, that the genders at that point were set, that the women were given the responsibility to identify, be sensitive enough to identify those things that would constrict or cause destruction, death, or poisoning to our families. And in that way, from that place, which is that belly wisdom, to be able to say, this then is the environment, these are the kind of structures, and lead by architecting or creating the systems and structures that would provide an unfoldment of that which would benefit our greater global family. And the men were designed to be the ones that gave the strength of love and nurturing and holding of all possibilities, but it was the woman's job to lead. That was the original plan, as I was told. And as I've worked with women all through these years, I see that it is absolutely where we are headed and where a lot of women have already gotten. And so for me, you know, women leading, women being a major part of making decisions, both politically, religiously, family-wise, is as it was intended to be.
So it sounds like if for men, they can have a lot of fear of giving up. You know, they've had that power of leading, and to go to a position of, I think it would be hard for them to understand that concept of just, I hear what you're saying, it's kind of like holding the energy for everything to be possible. And that's a powerful position, but it may not seem powerful because they're not doing. It's been the reverse of, you know, learning how to be instead of do.
It's for both of us, for both genders, it's something new. But we've been living in a box of survival. That's what it's been about. And when I've talked to men, worked with families and men and women in relationships or even in greater community, men shake their head and say, yes, we've been cut off from our heart, and they know it. Mm-hmm. And women know we've been cut off from our power. And it's a big relief, and when that starts to rearrange, it makes a major difference for both. Very balancing.
So have you seen that change when you've worked with people? How have you seen that? What has shifted in their relationship then?
Well, I'll just give you one quick example. A woman who came to me who was the mother of she had three boys and a husband, so she had no daughters, and it was just her. And she'd been living the role that most women do, taking care of, being the nurturer, and letting the men kind of run the show. And she came to me ready for a divorce. I wanted to divorce my boys, and I wanted to divorce my husband. Her boys were in their 20s, early and mid-20s. And I said, let's first of all get you in your, into your clarity. What is it that you are about? And that's where, you know, women getting into their clarity, into their voice, what's important to them. That's kind of the first step, and that's what we've been doing as women recently. And she didn't blame men. She just started speaking differently. She just started saying, I need, this is what we're, what I want, I need in my home. This is the kind of music. These are the kind of colors. And she started just in her home, be the one who stood up and said, this feels better, and so we're going to do it this way. And her the men in her family just relaxed. They supported her. She didn't have to say anything to them. Everything just shifted around because she shifted. And, of course, no divorce. So that's a simple, you know, but I see it on every level, no matter where that woman is working. And does that mean there won't be, wouldn't be disruptions in some places? Absolutely. Because women have been cut off from their power, and we really need to participate in that. But, so that's one thing, you know, that I've been watching through the years. And I see that it's been a major, point of clarity and help women to understand that it's not just something they wish for. This is a responsibility they have to say, I'm a kind of guardianship. Energy, environment, and then help design the protocols and the processes by which that happens. And so I really stand for women leading, and participating in that, in those decision making places.
Yes, I do too. And I think women are, many more women are stepping up to that leadership and, you know, hearing speakers like Jean Houston saying, you know, it's up to, you know, women must, you know, step up to being a leader now, and the internet is really allowing that to happen. And because so many more women's groups, you know, like we have our Woman Wisdom Conference, but now there's a lot of teleclasses and internet classes and webinars where women can join together and be supported. So, you know, because we really need support to get to this place where we're really stepping into that role, because there's been a lot of backlash.
Yeah, and what I've found, because I've worked with women organizations as a radio show host for about 8 years now, and organizations at all levels, and one thing I want to point out is that women in the female psyche, there exists the residue, if you will, of all of those, the witch hunts, the burning times, the torture, in generations and centuries, and in some villages there were no women left. It was such a targeted attack at women. And we carry that within our own female psyche. And what I'm seeing also is that the pattern that I see in an individual woman who needs to, and she goes back to those lifetimes to heal what is there, contracts we made to stay small, fights we had with women because we had to have a man to survive, all of those that are residue in our group female psyche, also is in the process of being healed and released, and that's a major part of what we will be doing at the Women of Wisdom Conference, is helping women identify that the patterns they are now in, it might be the gossip, the continual gossip, the backbiting of women, the inability to collaborate really into a magnificent place as we pull each other down. It has its roots in the female psyche and what happened to us then. And that's what we'll be addressing at the Women of Wisdom Conference workshop.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's great. And it's going to be a great workshop. So I want to let the audience know that 5 people can receive a free ebook for women, 8 Steps to Awaken to Mission. Just call 800-930-2819. And you can contact Sharon at srige@yahoo.com. Receive 50% off an $80 personal energy consultation. Thank you for joining us today, Sharon.
Thank you so much, Christy, at the Women's Conference.
Okay. So I'm Christy, and you're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back. We're going to talk to Sarah Beek about unleashing the red, hot, and holy feminine.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com. The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
You are a wondrous expression of God, Source, Spirit, Universe. How do you let this be fully realized in your everyday physical life? Oriella coaches and teaches people how to awaken their spiritual power. She also releases and replaces what is limiting and holding them back. Her no-nonsense, logical approach allows you to fully and easily understand how you can live life more fully, more abundantly, more powerfully by awakening to your spiritual power. For information, visit awakentoyourspiritualpower.com.
The average American spends $16 a day on food, and statistically, 2 out of 3 are considered overweight. With the Take Shape for Life program, you can not only shed those extra pounds on your way to living life at optimal health, you might be surprised to actually save money doing it. Talk to a Take Shape for Life certified health coach who's lost the extra pounds and listen to the passion in their voice and to the story of their journey. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I have Sarah Beek with me today. Sarah Beek is a Harvard-trained scholar of comparative world religions, and she spent the past 14 years traveling the world studying spirituality, from whirling with the Sufi dervishes to meeting the Dalai Lama on her 21st birthday, taking the host from a Croatian Catholic mystic who had the stigmata to having life-altering visions with shamans, and everything in between. She's the author of The Red Book, A Deliciously Unorthodox Approach to Igniting Your Divine Spark. Her next book and forthcoming feature film is Redvolution, Unleashing the Red Hot and Holy Feminine. Sarah now happily deems herself a spiritual cowgirl and a redvolutionary. You can visit her website at www.sarahbeak.com. She's given a workshop on Saturday, February 19th in Seattle at the Woman Wisdom Conference called Redvolution, Women Daring to Disturb the Universe. Well, welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I'm excited about having you at Woman of Wisdom. I love your title, Woman Daring to Disturb the Universe. And I think, looking at your website, I think you do that. So I just want to describe to everybody what you call who a revolutionary is. So a redvolutionary is someone who does not play by the social, religious, cultural, sexual, or political rules. She affects change by daring to be herself, forging a unique path, and serving her planet authentically through ecstatic activism. She's a kind of spiritual superheroine, rebelling against dogma and ideology in order to experience a direct and intimate relationship with the feminine divine. She has a fearless commitment to truth and freedom, healing and empowerment, sex toys, red wine, and gold body glitter for all. So that's quite a statement. So you inspire this wildness, I think. Spiritual freedom, living with fire. How can we bring that fire within us out into the world? How do you lead people to unleash that?
Well, I think it depends on each person, but in general, in a workshop, sometimes it's good just to see an example that within our spiritual practices or belief systems, even the really sort of lenient feminine belief systems, we can still sometimes get a little stuck in a particular model and sometimes even wear our spirituality like a costume. And so part of the Revolutionary Way is trying to constantly be in a very dynamic and honest and spontaneous relationship to that which is divine to you. And a lot of times that means it can actually look a little wild to other people. It doesn't always. But the Revolutionaries to me, which is a title that I've given them, I don't know if they would give themselves, but in the past are definitely people like Rumi and Teresa of Avila and Hafiz and Mirabai in India. And a lot of my work today is really exploring what does it mean to be a revolutionary in modern times and to allow ourselves just to really go by our own direct experience with the divine and how do we unleash that into the world. So it's a unique process for each woman, and it kind of unfolds in very appropriate ways depending on what's going on in her life. But sometimes we all just need a little reminder that the most that the divine really wants for us is for us to be connected and just to be our true selves in every moment.
So it feels like when I read your things on your website and your definition of revolutionary, it seems like you've discovered this connection between the ecstatic and sensual and spirituality.
Yes.
And can you talk about that? And what has that done for you?
Sure. Well, it's definitely an ongoing process. I mean, I was, raised a Midwestern, like, people pleaser, sort of good girl, recovering Catholic in some way. But from the beginning, from when I was, I think practically born, I was really just obsessed. I call it kind of like gaga for God. I was just incredibly, like, devotional and really into whatever the divine was. And when I was in sixth grade, I just recognized that the church wasn't doing it for me. Like, all the feelings that I had for the divine, I did not feel when I went into a traditional Catholic church. So I left, and that really led me to explore a huge variety of different spiritual practices and traditions, and that led me all the way through college studying religion and graduate school and all over the world. So what I noticed was that my natural draw was always for the ones, again, that I sort of call the revolutionaries, but the ones that were really daring to live from their heart. And they were just by naturally doing this, they weren't trying to be risque, they weren't trying to be rebellious, they weren't like trying to be sexy. It was just that their natural experience with engaging the divine, whatever that was for them, be it nature or like a person they met on the street or something like Jesus or Krishna, produced a very erotic experience for them. So they tended to have sort of what I call a mystico-erotic exchange with the universe. And it's really an exchange of life force that just doesn't exclude the sexual. So to me personally, as a woman, it's been incredibly validating just to know that those natural feelings that we all have are welcome at the Divine Dinner Party and, in fact, celebrated and at a Red Dinner Party, like, definitely cheered and toasted. But it's a very, it's not an easy path. I think it's very easy to get sort of caught up in the, like, the red glitz of it all. But the actual practice of it is something that I'm continually learning and continually, like, humbled by and awed by. But yes, it is definitely a fresh way of looking and, I think, speaking about spirituality that I do feel is pretty needed in this modern day.
So how is it different than in the, the 60s revolution?
Mm.
How do you find it different?
Well, I wasn't alive then, so I can't speak directly to that.
Well, you're speaking for the younger generations.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of those women who were alive can tell me what's different or not different. But it's not, to me, the real motion and the real emphasis is moving from the inside out. So the Redvolution is much more an internal Redvolution. It will directly affect your life personally and definitely globally, but it's less about joining a movement and more about joining your own internal movement with the divine and allowing that to express itself. So that can come out usually very unique for each person. And it, like my Redvolution might look very different than the next person's. The certain qualities they have in common, those are the ones that I think, you know, I've called red. Nobody else really is. I might be making it all up. But so that's one element, I think, that might be different than the 60s that I hesitate to really compare too much just because I don't feel like I have enough, you know, information experience with the 60s. But the emphasis is it's a real divine relationship. This isn't purely a social relationship or movement.
Yeah. I think one of the differences it's sort of transformed into a more spiritual revolution. It was more of a feminist movement back then, and now it was. I remember Jean Shonda Bolen kind of saying the spiritual element was missing, and we have that now. And so it's more. It's fuller. It's more complete in the work that we're doing. So the Red Book. Why did you write the Red Book?
Sure. I wrote the Red Book because when I was done with graduate school and living out here in San Francisco, what I experienced quite often is that whenever I was speaking to other young women about spirituality, they would get really excited about the ideas that I was learning, that I was studying, that I was experiencing, and they would just light up. And then I would point them to other books about spirituality. And they would go read the books and come back to me and be like, oh, my God, I couldn't get through it. It was so boring or so old school or too traditional or too esoteric or who knows what. So I just noticed there was, at that point, like a real lack of voices from the 20, 30-something generation about their particular experiences with spirituality. So I wrote the book to really present all this wisdom that I had been able to have the privilege to study around the world, especially the more esoteric and mystical truths, which to me are always the ones that really revved me up, and to present it to a mainstream young women audience in a way that they could actually really, like, digest them. You know, and it related directly to their complicated lives. It's written in a language that's very casual and very familiar, sort of like you're talking to your girlfriend. But I'm not skipping on the integrity of what it actually takes to engage in a spiritual journey. It's not really like a chick lit, like, go get them.
That's great. It's so needed. It's so needed for that younger generation to have the voice, you know, have it in their language. So we're going to take a break right now. This is Chris Stainis. We're going to come back and talk more with Sarah about the qualities of a Redvolutionary.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com. The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
Remember, For our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in Wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness, natural food for pets, where true wellness begins.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Danis, and I have Sarah Beek. First, Sarah, can you give people your contact information?
Sure. People can contact me at info@sarahbeek.com, S-E-R-A-B-E-A-K.com. And my website has a bunch of information for other ways to look at what I'm doing and to get in contact with me.
Great. So we were talking at the break, and you had written about some of the process you've had to go through. Tell us about the red, what you call the red night of the soul.
Sure. That the red night of the soul is something that I'm writing about right now in the second book called Redvolution. And it happened when I was, it started happening, I think sort of like the kickoff for it was when I was interviewing different women for my film Redvolution, and I had an interview with Marion Woodman, the wonderful, as many of you probably know, union analyst from Canada. And when I sat down to interview her, I had a really interesting experience, which was just that I immediately started crying. And I had been reading her work for years and years and years, so I wasn't unfamiliar with what she was talking about, but what I was really encountering was kind of what I would consider like a body transmission, where I was actually in front of a woman who was just fully embodied and speaking about the feminine, and the difference between us became so clear. Like, oh, this woman is speaking from her belly. Oh, I'm not. But the sadness that it evoked from me was something really important and really necessary. And from then, really from the past 2 years since then, I've just been going through a pretty intense personal process of looking at all the ways, a lot of shadow work, but all the ways that I have been frightened of the feminine, like hated the feminine, you know, not been here in life, not been here in my body, even though for years prior I had been studying about the divine feminine and, you know, giving talks and being really passionate and really believing in it. And so it's been an incredibly intense, you know, process. I frequently say it's like the second half of the universe is like rip me a new one. But for me, it's really a new red heart. And the red night of the soul, I call it that because although other spiritual teachers who have met me, you know, their lens for it is a dark night of the soul. But it's been so specifically about the feminine for me that... And because of that, it's actually produced and evoked different qualities than the dark night. And so for me, I just call it the red night of the soul. It's something that I don't think I'm out of, but I'm so grateful for the experience. And it's very, you know, it's multi-layered and sort of multivalent. But part of it is in this next book, which is a much more personal story about what is red, how did it come in my life, like how has it sort of been leading me this entire time to myself and to my heart's truth and to this more sort of like wild experience and expression of spirituality.
Well, tell us a personal, you traveled for 14 years. What was something that just really stood out as a transformative experience for you?
I think definitely meeting the Dalai Lama, and maybe for the typical reasons, but very importantly to me, I was studying Tibetan Buddhism for a year over in India, Nepal, and Tibet, and I was around all these incredible, like, teachers and Buddhist Rinpoches and monks, and they were great. But I was, again, I was very much craving sort of, like, the human within all the spirituality. And so when I met the Dalai Lama, he was just so, like, what I consider the most divine because he was the most himself. There was no, like, spiritual pretense. There was no affront. Like, he told us, like, the most hilarious jokes. He was, like, you know, hiking up his socks when he was talking to us. And there was just such this, like, revelation to me of, like, wow, that's it. That beautiful, like, exhalation of being a human and just offering that so effortlessly without all the trappings of, like, your titles or your roles or your spiritual whatever. That, to me, was a huge teaching, being in front of him, and really taught me also about just the importance of being incredibly transparent and very authentic when it comes to this work. Because it's something I've craved, being around the spirituality arena from a young age and meeting a lot of people and reading a lot. I crave the human behind all the spiritual talk. And that to me also is sort of essentially feminine, at least my experience of the feminine, where she's very much like she won't let me divorce any of my human quirks or personality from her divinity. And so I always say, like, a revolution happens when, you know, this very human woman crashes into the very divine feminine, and we burn in love for each other. And it's not an easy process, but it's a very, for me, I can't imagine my life without it.
Well, yeah, there is that experience of when you see the Dalai Lama. One time he just passed in front of me in a car in my neighborhood, and there's this genuineness about him and humbleness, you know, if we could all be so humble of but that the human element is that we can't, you know, we strive for the spiritual, be this divine spiritual being, but we can never really let go of our human, and we have to, so many times people try to, shed themselves of it, that those are human-based qualities, and really we have to embrace them.
Exactly, and celebrate them, and, like, know that, like, in my experience, in my red universe, like, the divine wants that, like, wants that unique expression of you to mix with it, like, not to sort of rub it out, you know, not to, like, rub out your unique corners. Yeah, the Dalai Lama is great also because whenever you see him, he kind of never follows the rules because he's listening to that just, like, divine impulse in him, you know? Like, I've seen him so many times get, like, spoken to, like, you need to walk straight to that thing and not talk to the people and get to the microphone at this particular time. And he's like, okay, and he starts walking. And sure enough, he's, like, veering off and going over and, like, clasping someone else's hands and, like, veering off someplace else. And you can see his, like, handlers, like, rolling their eyes, like, oh, my God, not again. But what I love about it is he's just, he's going. It takes a lot of courage, actually, to just move in a way that's not, you know, so socially or politically or religiously prescribed, but from that really natural impulse. So he always cracks me up. Like, I really admire him for that, too.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, he's living in the moment. That sounds like he's living in the moment. Well, yeah. I want to thank you so much for being with us today, sharing your passion for the feminine, and I wish you well on this continued journey of the red night of the soul, and hope that others embrace that. And that you offer this to our young people, and, you know, the young people who are seeking this, they need the young voices that kind of matched their own. And so it's great that you're bringing that, and congratulations on your book. So I want to thank my guest today, Susanna McCarthy. Thank you so much, Sharon Rugge and Sarah Beek, for talking with us today. They all will share their gifts February 17th to the 21st in Seattle. And you can register for all the events individually, so you can create your own conference experience at whatever level you can afford. We have some specials that are going to be announced next week, so be sure to go to our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. I want to leave you with this thought today. Allow Sophia into your heart. Listen to the bones for the hidden wisdom that's within you, in your distant collective consciousness, and unleash your fire within, embracing spirituality with zest and passion. This is Chris Stanis. I'm glad to have shared this hour with you on Voices of Women. You can go to my website, www.wisewomanpublishing.com. I'm the author of the bestseller, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. You can purchase the book at the Woman of Wisdom website that helps Woman of Wisdom. And you can sign up for the newsletter there at womanofwisdom.org. Thank you so much. You can join me every Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific time, and we'll have more conversations with powerful women to inspire you. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stanis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stanis.